Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And here's something that the government surely doesn't want you to know, and there's been surprisingly little press about it. It's a bankruptcy bill wending its way through Congress. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised there hasn't been a lot of press on it. Generally, when the administration takes on the poor and those that are in trouble, there really is very little news about it. When the Bush administration ended overtime for millions of workers, barely a peep in the press. And when they have taken action to really restrict unions' rights, again, very little press attention. But I want to talk in detail about this bill. You have the right to know what is going on in Congress and what this bill does. Because I'm sure you've gotten credit card offers in the mail. In fact, a recent study shows that they send out 5 billion pieces of mail trying to get you to get in on those credit card debts. There's all kinds of great offers at the beginning, and then they're going to raise your debt later on to 15-20%. And then if you can't pay it back, say because you've had a major health crisis in your family, well, the credit card companies feel that you should have to pay it back every penny, including interest, no matter how bad it gets for you. But you know what? If you're a rich guy and you got a great house in Florida, no problem. You can declare bankruptcy. So I want to go through the details of exactly what this bankruptcy bill does and really why it's being put out there. Some of these ideas date back to the 90s when they were rejected under a Clinton administration. What is it about the Republicans that lets them, I don't know, take on the poor so much? And maybe it's the case that a lot of people who declare bankruptcy are scofflaws, people who just want to get out of their debts. How do we punish the legitimate people who run up debts on their credit cards and at the same time recognize that there's some that have health care problems? And, well, they need to save their families' lives, and sometimes that's the reason for their debts. To answer some of these questions, my guest today is Robert Gordon. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. And if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can do as so many of you already have done, and right there on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com, put your comments there, and I'll be reading some of them on the air. So first of all, let me introduce Robert Gordon. Robert, thank you for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
Thanks a lot for having me, Mark.
I think I should mention that Robert Gordon used to be Judiciary Committee counsel for Senator John Edwards. I happen to appreciate that because I used to be Judiciary Committee counsel for Congressman Barney Frank, so I know kind of what he does. But since then, he's gone on to do some really amazing things. He was the domestic policy advisor for John Edwards' presidential primary campaign and for the Kerry Edwards campaign. And he's also done a lot of work specifically on the credit card industry abuse. So he's only here for the first half hour. If you want to call in, the time is now, 877-57-SCOOP. Robert, let me start by asking you what this bankruptcy bill does. How does it affect the average American?
Well, the centerpiece of the bill is a provision that will make it harder for ordinary people to get a clean slate when they file for bankruptcy. Right now, if you've lost your job and haven't been able to pay your bills, you can go into what's called Chapter 7 of bankruptcy. And when you do that, you may have to give up some of your assets, some of the things that you have, but after you do that, you can get a discharge. You can get free from your credit card debt and from other unsecured debts. And what this bill will do, what the core of this bill will do, is to make it harder for people to do that. It will impose a means test, which will mean that people will need to fill out all sorts of new forms and make all sorts of new showings before they can get that kind of clean slate from their credit card debt. And if you don't pass the test, you either won't be able to go into bankruptcy at all, or you'll be able to do what's called a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, where you have to continue to make payments on a pretty rigid schedule.
Now, Robert, before I started working in Congress, I actually worked as an attorney, and I did a decent amount of bankruptcy work in my time working as a trial attorney. And I remember sitting there and watching these people come in, and one after one would sort of tell their stories, and a lot of them were healthcare related. But what I found is that if you didn't have an attorney, well, you were less likely to get all the benefits you have under the bill, and yet the poorer you were, the less likely you were to be able to afford an attorney. So that when the rich guys came in, Donald Trump, for example, I remember declared bankruptcy 10, 20 years back, and now, of course, he's doing quite well on his own TV show. He never had to pay back his debts, I guess. How is it that, I mean, in terms of just access to the bankruptcy courts, what would be the difference between the rich and the poor in this?
Well, it's an enormous difference, and the problem that you described will actually get a lot worse because of this bill, because it will make it that much more expensive and difficult for poor people or people with very limited amounts of money, which is most people going bankrupt. It will make it that much more difficult for them to get relief in bankruptcy court because there will be a whole new set of forms, a whole new set of requirements. One of the most important changes that the bill makes is to allow creditors, to allow credit card companies to come in and to object to people getting bankruptcy relief, so they will be able to run and say, nuh-uh, you can't get a clean slate. We need to have a whole hearing about whether you really qualify. And all this is going to really raise the cost. If right now a poor person, you know, might have to pay, I don't know, several hundred dollars to get a bankruptcy lawyer, this bill may raise that cost by $200 or $300 more, which if you're in so much trouble that you're looking to file for bankruptcy is not a small thing.
I also want to ask you about something that's been called the millionaire's loophole. Apparently, if you live in Florida and Texas and some other states, you can have a multi-million dollar mansion and you don't have to give that up as part of bankruptcy. Is that correct?
That's right. There are actually two big millionaire's loopholes. One is the one that you're talking about, which is the homestead exemption, which basically there's a different exemption in different states. So the idea behind the homestead exemption is one that we all agree with, which is that when you go into bankruptcy, you shouldn't have to lose your home. Certainly if it's a modest home and it's one that you've put a lot of your sweat into. The problem with what five states do, including Florida and Texas, is that they let you keep as big a home as you want, which encourages people to engage in all kinds of abuses where they buy a fancy home, they put all their assets into that, and then they declare bankruptcy to get out of other debts that they ought to be paying, and then they keep this fancy house. And that's something that people like Ken Lay have done. Actually, Bowie Kuhn, the former baseball commissioner, did it. Lots of folks have done that. And that is an existing abuse that this bill actually does not stop. So the bill is very hard on people. If you're a single mom and you go bankrupt because you don't have health insurance, this bill is out to hold you responsible. But if you're a multimillionaire and you manage to sock away money in your house, the bill says, well, good for you.
And Ken Lay did declare bankruptcy, is that correct?
He did. And actually, the bill contains some provisions that are supposed to deal with the kinds of things that Ken Lay did. The problem is that they're lawyerly, they're complicated. They say if you can do one thing within 2 years and another thing within 4 years, then this bill doesn't apply to you. So there's all kinds of loopholes in it. Actually, an older version of the bill contained a much simpler fix to get rid of these abuses, the kinds that Ken Lay engaged in, but the new bill doesn't have that fix in it.
The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Robert, I remember, again, working as a trial lawyer, I did that in California, and there would be scam artists, someone who had borrowed millions of dollars and wouldn't pay it back. We sued him. He declared bankruptcy, went to bankruptcy court, and he put all of his assets in various interlocking corporation and asset protection trusts. And this is a guy who truly was a scam artist and truly was. He had a Rolls Royce. He was living in a palatial home. And it was very, very difficult to touch his assets because he had spent the time and money and lawyers to really hide them well. In fact, he had a lot of assets in the Cayman Islands. What does this bill do, if anything, to get scam artists like that?
Nothing.
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 They can keep
nothing about the exact problem that you talk about, asset protection trust, the bill does absolutely nothing about. So in addition to the homestead exemption, which we just talked about, there also is this ability that people have either to hide assets in trust overseas, or there's a bunch of states where they can hide the assets in trust that are in the state itself. It's Alaska, Delaware, Nevada, Rhode Island, and Utah, where you can just set up this special kind of trust, and you can keep that money when you declare bankruptcy, and this law does nothing to stop that.
Okay, so we still have the rich being able to declare bankruptcy. Let's focus on the poor end. One study that I saw that was given to me actually by Senator Kennedy's office, they did a study of all bankruptcies in America back in 2001 for some years, and they found that between 46% and 54%, in other words, one half of all bankruptcies had to do with health issues. And what was really interesting to me in this is that three quarters of those had health insurance, but still couldn't afford the serious health problems that occurred, not just to pay for medical bills, but because sometimes people lost their jobs because they were too sick and so forth. Have the Democrats done anything to try to help at least those people who are in bankruptcy, not because they're buying, you know, they're not gambling in Las Vegas, but because they're actually trying to save family members' lives?
Yeah, there's two issues here. One is what will happen to people who go bankrupt because of their health care costs or because they go sick. And Senator Kennedy, who you mentioned, actually offered an amendment that would protect those people and make sure that they don't have to shell out the extra few hundred dollars. They've already had enough problems if they've lost their jobs because they got sick. And that amendment failed. It got about 40 votes, but all the Republicans voted against it, and unfortunately some Democrats did as well. So Democrats have tried to cure this problem, but haven't succeeded. The second issue, which is really the bigger problem, is that if we want to do something about bankruptcies in America, the most important thing we can do is to create more security for middle-class families. It's to take steps so that people have health insurance that actually works for them, so they don't lose their health insurance when they get sick and lose their job, which is what happened to a lot of those people in that study you mentioned, so that they actually have jobs that are enough to sustain a middle-class lifestyle and a middle-class family. None of that is what the Senate's talking about right now.
Robert, let me ask you, because I know you've been in the Senate, I'm sure, when they've had many of these debates. Some of these bankruptcy bills, frankly, date back to the 90s. These are not new ideas. They just have political power now to ram them through. What are Republicans saying? I mean, it sounds so cruel. What they're saying, that if you're poor, you have to pay your debts, but if you're rich, you don't? I'm sure they're not saying that.
Well, what they're saying is that we have a crisis of bankruptcy abuse. You hear a lot about that right now. And now, you know, they do tell very disturbing stories about people who buy a plasma TV set and, you know, lots of fancy shoes and then declare bankruptcy to try to keep those things. The problem that they're not addressing is that, number one, that does not describe the vast majority of people going bankrupt today. And number two, there are families that do that. There are people who abuse the system. And unfortunately, their bill doesn't do anything about those abuses. They're the ones that we were talking about before.
Again, my understanding of the code, and again, I did work a little bit in bankruptcy, is that if there are abuses of the system, the judge has discretion to say to someone, you know what, you have abused the system, and we will not give you a discharge in bankruptcy. And does this new bill take away from the judge some of that discretion?
Yeah, the new bill takes away a lot of the judge's discretion, and in fact, basically requires a judge to apply this test. And if a family doesn't pass the test, they can't qualify for bankruptcy. And actually, the discretion that judges will have under this new bill will not be to help families. It will be to take away rights from families. So the judge will have discretion not only to – the judge will have to deny bankruptcy protection to people who don't pass the test. And then in addition, the judge will also have the ability, if he or she wants to deny people for other reasons, like because the judge thinks the filing is in bad faith or something like that. So really, it's a very fundamental change in the law from one that is friendly to debtors and to people who are trying to get a second chance to one that is friendly to creditors and people who are trying to collect.
Got another Democratic amendment for you. I know that a lot of veterans of either of the Gulf War or of the current Iraq War, some of them are people who are in the National Guard, they're in the reserves, and they're called up and they have to leave their businesses in order to serve, and then they come back and they can't face their mounting debt. Some of them are homeless. Has there been any provision to try to help military families, and what's happened with that?
There was. Senator Durbin tried to introduce an amendment to protect those families. I mean, what could be worse than someone who is serving our country, putting their life on the line, and because of that, their family takes a huge economic hit and ends up in bankruptcy court? What could be worse than piling new burdens on that family, which is exactly what this bill does? And Senator Durbin had an amendment to try to stop that and make sure that we exempted those military families, and that amendment failed.
And again, the Republicans were a unified vote. Did we get Lincoln Chafee at all?
I mean, I think one or two voted the other way.
Okay.
What's more striking is how many Democrats actually will vote with the Republicans on this stuff.
Why are the Democrats joining in? Are they some, I guess, beholden to insurance companies or
yeah,
credit card,
you know,
companies?
This is a bill that a lot of business interests have been lobbying for years and years, and literally have made tens or probably hundreds of million dollars in contributions about it. And so I think that's one factor. And I think, frankly, the other factor is that most people in the country just don't hear about it. They hear bankruptcy reform, their eyes glaze over with, this doesn't have anything to do with May.
They never think they'll need it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So do you think that this bill's going to become law? Will the Democrats filibuster?
I think we're not exactly sure. I think it's a great thing for people who are concerned by the bill and troubled by it to call their senators and tell them to vote no and to stand up to the bill. I think we don't yet know what's going to happen.
Okay, we have to go to commercial break. If you want to call in, like I said, Robert Gordon's only here the first half hour. So if you want to talk with him, we appreciate your calls. 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can write in on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be reading some of your comments and questions right after these messages.
Thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? Ha, ha, ha. She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. My guest is Robert Gordon. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's a former Judiciary Committee counsel for Senator John Edwards and served as domestic policy advisor for Senator Edwards in his presidential campaign and for the Kerry Edwards campaign. And we're talking about the bankruptcy bill that's gotten surprisingly little press. It's wending its way through Congress, and it's a bill that basically punishes people who run up credit card debts and other debts as for health care and other purposes. But hey, if you're rich and you can afford a millionaire's mansion, you can still escape this bill. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We appreciate your calls. And you can also write it on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. And I've been reading a lot of your comments on the blog, and they're all over the map. They're very interesting. I want to read a few of them. Madeline writes, "This is an all-out attack on every American citizen who's been forced through financial devastation to take away the protection of bankruptcy But the rich corporations won't be bothered by this when they fall away, and they will still be protected. Then we also have Craig, who writes, this stinks of more compassionate conservatism. It's compassionate only if it helps campaign contributors to the Republican Party. But then we've got people like Nathan, who says it's plain ridiculous that someone with a good job, owns their own home and car, are allowed to keep their job, home, and car, but wipe away $50,000 in credit card debt. I'm all for helping people out, but wiping their debt isn't helping them. It's giving them a free ride, and the rest of us who don't declare bankruptcy pay the bill for these deadbeats. And then we've got Vicky, who asks, I'd be interested in hearing the percentages of bankruptcy declared for truly valid reasons, such as health care costs, as opposed to those who think they have to have things they can't afford. So let me ask you, Robert, about the things that my latter two blog entries people have written, Nathan and Vicky. I mean, there is this perception out there that there are a lot of people that are deadbeats, that are cheating the system. Perhaps we'll start with Vicky's question. What percentage of bankruptcies are declared for truly valid reasons, as she would call it, as opposed to people just spending beyond their means?
Well, I'll tell you one statistic I know that is an answer to that question, which is that 87% of people who file for bankruptcy have had one of three things happen to them. One, they've had a health problem, either high medical costs or an illness. Two, they've lost their jobs. Or three, they've gone through a divorce or a separation. So if you look at all the people in bankruptcy, almost 9 out of 10 of them have had one of those three things happen to them.
Well, that's pretty strong. Now, what about Nathan, who points out that, yeah, but if you have a job and a home and a car, you can wipe out $50,000 in debt, he writes, and still keep your job, your home, and your car?
You know, it is absolutely true that there are abuses and that we ought to do something about them. And we talked about two of them with Homestead, with people having big homes and then these fancy trusts. There certainly are other things that we ought to be doing. For example, there's a problem with repeat filing, people who go into bankruptcy and then they go back in a year later, and that's something that happens too often, and we should do something about it. The problem with this bill is that it sort of takes what's a very complicated problem and takes a meat cleaver to it. And the people who end up under the cleaver, who end up in a lot of trouble, are people who really did nothing wrong, and are just having a hard time for reasons totally beyond their control. So I think we all can agree that we need to do something about abuse. The question is, how many sort of honest but unfortunate people are we going to punish in order to get at the abuses? And I think that the balance in this bill isn't right, not only because of how many good people it hurts, but because it really doesn't take on the worst offenders.
Let me go to the phones. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Robert Gordon.
This is Ed from New York,
yeah.
And I'd like to ask Ed a couple of questions. As I understand this new bill, it sets a level, and the level for the bankruptcy judge to go ahead and say that people who are above this particular level have to pay a certain percentage of their income as determined by the bankruptcy judge back to their creditors, such as credit card companies. I have a couple of questions. First, I'd like to know what the level is, how it's calculated, and all of that. And then I want to ask something about the credit card companies.
Robert?
The calculation of the level is actually, it's unfortunately, it would be nice if it were easy to explain, but it's extremely complicated. It basically takes a look at your income, and then a look at your expenses that are considered legitimate, and then says that you can't have a clean slate Chapter 7 bankruptcy if, number one, your income is above the median income for the state that you're in. So basically, if you have an above average income, and number two, if the amount of money you have left over is either $10,000 or 25% of the unsecured claims that people have against you. So that's the formula that's used. It's very, very complicated. But essentially, the way that it works out is that if a person, in some circumstances, it's as little as $6,000, that you would be disqualified if you had as little as $6,000 left over, which basically means that if you can pay an extra $100 a month to your creditors, and you're above the state's median income, you can be disqualified from getting a traditional bankruptcy.
Are you disqualified to the extent of the sums? In other words, I had $12,000 and I was above the median income. Am I disqualified to the extent of the $12,000, or am I disqualified for the extent of all the debts that I owe my credit card company?
you are disqualified at certainly to the $12,000 and potentially more than that. It would be in the discretion of the bankruptcy judge to decide what you actually could pay.
So in other words, if I owed, say, $100,000 and I only had $12,000, the bankruptcy judge could make me pay that $100,000 back to the credit card company,
could make
including
you pay
the interest on those credit cards?
Potentially. I mean, it would be for the judge to decide what the right amount was that you owed.
But to be clear, Robert, that would include interest. I mean, some of these rates, you see them, 20-25%
yeah,
interest.
Yeah, it would include interest. And, you know, one of the problems with this bill is that already what we're talking about now is what's called Chapter 13. And already about two-thirds of the people who go into Chapter 13, their plans fail, which means they never get a discharge because they're being asked to pay more than they actually have. And so one of the things that is likely to be a consequence of this bill is you have more people in Chapter 13, more people being burdened to pay amounts that they don't have, and more people never getting out from under the debt.
And so they basically owe it for the rest
forever
of their lives. Ed, you got another question you said,
yeah,
real quick.
With regard to the credit card companies, it's my understanding that they've been sponsoring this particular bill because of the fact that it would affect them. Is there any way that they're being hurt by this particular bill, or
no,
is it just all gravy for them?
It's all gravy for them. Actually, Democrats have tried to include amendments that would crack down on some of the abuses of the credit card companies or just require them to disclose more about the terms of the loans that they're making. And this would be a good thing for us to talk about more.
Yeah.
But those amendments have been blocked, and as a result, this bill, in your words, is all gravy for the credit card industry.
Thank you very much for your call, Ed. Robert, I did want to talk about the credit card companies. Let me give out the phone number again. It's 877-57-SCOOP. One statistic I read in researching this is that while bankruptcy filings are up 17%, credit card profits are up 163%. It seems to me if they're sending out billions and billions of notices...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why you can't hear me right now. Can you hear me better now? Can you hear me now? Robert, can you hear me now? Wow, that's strange. I don't know why that's happening. Let's see if we can find out. Robert, can you hear me now? I don't know why that's happening. I apologize. Tell you what, we will take a break. I will find out why Robert can't hear me. And
Robert can't hear you at all.
I apologize for that. I don't know why that is, but we're going to take a commercial break. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after these messages.
When George W. says he's going to reform something, I instinctively want to grab my money, my liberties, my family, and flee to the woods. For the Bushites, the word reform means deform, to monkey wrench the system so the rich get richer and the rest of us get stooked. Still, there's one system crying out for real reform, the bankruptcy process that corporations are using to stiff their employees, letting CEOs simply walk away from binding contracts on wages, health care, and pensions. At present, the big abusers are United, U.S. Air, Delta, and other major airlines that have been poorly managed and now are being squeezed by their bankers and jet fuel suppliers. Screaming poverty, these airlines have rushed to bankruptcy court, demanding that judges allow them to abrogate legitimate contracts they had negotiated in good faith with their pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, and others. These are loyal, long-time, hard-working employees who already have made concession after concession, giving back billions of dollars that were owed to them. Yet the CEOs are demanding still more, using the federal bankruptcy law as their weapon for this mugging. This one-sided law apparently legalizes end runs to let corporations weasel out of their obligations. What an interesting lesson for all of us who've been taught that a contract is sacrosanct, a legally binding giving of one's word. Here's my question. Why do the CEOs only target the workers for cost-cutting? Why not tell Exxon and the other fuel suppliers, no, we can't pay your gouging prices, so we're abrogating those commitments? Or why not say to the super wealthy bankers, you take some of the pain too? Why do they only pound their workers? This is Jim Hightower saying, I don't know about you, but on my flights, I'd rather have a disgruntled banker or fuel supplier than an angry pilot, flight attendant, or mechanic. It's time to fix the bankruptcy law that has legalized the corporate robbery of workers.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Robert Gordon, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's only on for a few more minutes. We had a few technical problems. Robert, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, that's good. I do want to ask you, and I know I have some callers on the line. Callers, hold on. I just want to finish with Robert Gordon. You were explaining some of the credit card abuses. What are some of them, and what are the Democrats trying to do to stop them?
Some of them are raising people's rates on things that they already bought, because they missed a payment to a totally different creditor, or they missed a payment on an electric bill, or their credit score went down just because they took out an extra loan. So you did nothing wrong. You bought that refrigerator at 12%. You did nothing wrong. You've been making payments on time. All of a sudden, you're not paying 12%. You're paying 35%. They do not disclose the most basic facts. They refuse to tell people what will happen if they make only minimum payments. If you have $10,000 on your credit card and you're paying back only $20 a month, which a lot of people are doing, you are likely to pay $30,000 just to pay off that bill.
And three times the debt.
Three times the debt, and it'll take you 20 or 30 years. Democrats, progressives have been pushing for measures just to require companies to disclose that fact so people know what they're getting into. Companies do not want to do that, and the reason they don't is that this is their cash cow. People who are making those $20 payments on thousands of dollars in debt, so that they don't want people to know. So those are a couple examples.
And the Democrats have offered amendments to this bankruptcy bill to require this kind of credit card disclosure.
Yep. Just yesterday.
And they failed.
They failed.
And again, let me just ask you one last question before you go, and I know you have to go. Why do you think this issue doesn't get a lot of media attention?
I think it's confusing and complicated. Like the your caller is a very good question. The answer is a mess. I think people are focused on Social Security, and that's where their heads are. And I think the biggest reason is people don't think bankruptcy will happen to them. And most of the people who are going bankrupt, you know, this is not something people do because they want to. They do it because they have to, and they're kind of ashamed about it. So we don't have a society where people talk openly about these issues, and the companies are able to work off of the stereotype to get what they want.
Last question, and it comes from a listener on the blog. If you do declare bankruptcy, how long does it stay on your credit report?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. I would think for a very long time.
Yeah, my understanding is it's at least 10 years, but I thought you might know. Hey, Robert, thanks very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let me go to one of the callers that's been hanging on for quite a while. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. Caller, you there? Caller. Hello? Last try for the caller. Very strange. Got a call in the background, but they're not saying anything. So, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. The lines are open. 877-57-SCOOP. And, you know, it strikes me that these credit card companies, they kind of remind me of that old French officer in Casablanca. I don't know if any of you saw that classic film where he goes in and he's shocked to find that there's gambling going on, when, of course, gambling had gone on underneath his nose all the time. That, to me, I guess, is the same when you have these credit card companies who are giving 5 billion solicitations a year, clearly to people with bad credit, clearly to people they know can't pay them back, and then are shocked, shocked to find out that these people can't pay them back. Again, I think statistics do tell the story. Credit card company profits are up 163%. All right? Bankruptcy filings are up 17%. So just to give you an idea, if the credit card companies made $100 million 4 years ago, they are now making $263 million. They are, and that's not the exact number, but the percentages are correct. What we have is credit card companies making 2.5 times what they made just 4 years ago, while consumer bankruptcies are up about 70%. They're up about 1/5. So credit card companies are not suffering, and very few people really feel sorry for these credit card companies. I don't think we should. And yet they continue to churn out credit after credit, trying to get us all to come on board. And then what happens? Somebody's got a health care problem. Someone is in the military, calling the reserves, and they can't pay back their debt. Toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. I want to read some more comments on the blog. This is actually a comment from Vicky. She writes about an example in her family who graduated, a woman who graduated from high school, got a job, immediately began buying on credit, sports car, motorcycle, a truck, and enough clothes to clothe 10 girls, all the while living at home, ending up declaring bankruptcy and being forgiven over $40,000 in debt just because she was a spoiled brat who was used to having everything she wanted. At the same time frame, her son went off to college, and because of easy access to credit, also got himself in a bit of a jam, but worked and paid off, and 8 years after graduation, he's still paying off college loans. So, Vicky, let me just agree with you that obviously your son is a more worthy person than the other member of your family. I'll be the first to say that bankruptcy should be for people who are legitimately in trouble, not people who simply spend beyond their means. And I can tell you that in the bankruptcy court, the judge right now, and it may change with this law, but right now the judge has discretion to see if you have abused the system, to see if you've been living beyond your means. Particularly it's true ironically, in credit card debt. In fact, if you put something in one of those fancy trusts or big homes, then it's a lot harder for a judge to intervene, which is a problem. But, you know, I think it does depend on how your debt is earned. In fact, I think that we should even consider forgiving student loans when someone, for example, chooses to go into the military, chooses to go into Peace Corps, chooses to be a teacher, because we need more teachers today. Those are the kinds of things that I think we should consider forgiving student loans for. That's, you know, a student loan is something where you work hard to achieve something in society. If you're going to live the American dream, you got to have this basic thing called education. And that's, to me, much more important, much more valuable and much more valuable to us as society than the first person you mentioned in your family. So I agree with you. We have to distinguish between these two. And I would suggest that the Democratic amendments are doing exactly that, that they're providing ways to distinguish between health care costs and fancy dresses, between people who had to go in the military and therefore their family got in trouble, and people who are basically just living too well. And the interesting thing is that the Republicans are doing the opposite. They're protecting the fancy homes. They're protecting Ken Lay. They're protecting all these asset protection trusts at the same time as they're harming people to pay credit cards. And one of the questions I simply have is why? You know, Republicans, they come on the blog, they talk to me on air, and they say, we don't hate the poor. We don't hate the poor. But why is it the Republican Party, everywhere you turn, consistently supports legislation that harms the poor and helps the rich? Harms the poor and helps the rich. It's not just tax cuts. It's not just workfare. It's not just Social Security. It's not just Medicaid. It's not just huge amounts of corporate pork to all kinds of interests and Halliburton and billions of dollars. It's everywhere you turn. And I got to give Nathan, a person who I know voted for George Bush in Ohio, but I got to give him a little bit of credit for writing on this blog on the website at RadioInsightScoop.com recently, that he went and he checked, expecting to find that there were a number of programs the Republicans had that helped the poor, and was surprised to find that he couldn't find hardly any. that this is an administration that really is saying, you know what, if you're poor, it's your own fault. And I guess that's my question. Do people think in America, do Republicans think that if you're poor, it's your own fault? Is that what we've come to? Sometimes it is your own fault if you're poor, but a lot of times people are born in poverty, they live in poverty, and they're never able to get rid of that overwhelming debt. And to me, that's what bankruptcy laws are about. We're going to take another commercial break. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or just right there on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
George W. likes to live in his own world. In fact, being Bush seems like a joyful, almost dreamlike experience. Reality, for example, never intrudes into his consciousness. And his lies, even as big as whoppers, seem most sincerely to be believed by him. I have no doubt that he thinks he served in the National Guard, for example. For his second term, George is drawing his world even tighter, moving swiftly to eliminate advisors and officials who might tell him things he doesn't want to hear, further shielding him from bothersome realities in the world. Colin Powell was quickly ushered out the door, even though he had dutifully and unwittingly lied for Bush about those non-existent weapons of mass destruction. Powell was always questioning the blind rush into the war, so George has now plucked this irritant from his administration. Condi Rice, his worshipful national security advisor, has been moved into Powell's chair, and Bush can certainly trust that she won't disturb his consciousness with anything that goes against his neocon ideology. Likewise, his longtime legal lackey, Al Gonzalez, has been dispatched to head the Justice Department, where he can grind out memos to rationalize and legalize any little old thing that strikes George's noggin. Al, you might remember, is the guy who wrote the White House memo saying that torturing Iraqi prisoners was legally okie-dokie. Then there's the CIA, which kept sending intelligence reports to the White House warning that the Iraqi invasion and occupation would have messy consequences. George didn't like to hear that, so now he's put political hack Porter Goss at the CIA helm. Goss is purging top agents who have disagreed with Bush's disastrous policies, warning all CIA employees that their job is to, quote, support the administration and its policies in our work. This is Jim Hightower saying, there. Don't you feel better knowing that George won't be bothered by any unwanted advice or unpleasant reports?
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to four real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. I'm giving you the Inside Scoop today on a bill that's very quietly wending its way through Congress. It's a bill on bankruptcy that would make it harder for poor people to pay back their debts, but doesn't change the abuses that rich people can do. The Democrats are doing everything they can to modify the bill to say if it's health care or if it's military personnel, or if it's due to abuse from credit card companies, can we at least stop it then? Each is being beaten back, and I'm afraid this is something that will probably become law. Toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Hey, Mark. Always good to talk to you.
Hey, Brian from New Jersey. How are you?
Good.
Recognize your voice.
Yes. I heard you say something in the last segment about, you know, people were born into poverty. I just wanted to bring a quick fact into the to play.
Go ahead.
Swiss are 3 times more likely to get out of their economic stature when they're born than we are here in America.
Wait, say that again. The British?
Swiss,
oh, the Swiss.
Switzerland,
yeah.
Yes, they're 3 times more likely. So, yeah, that was my little fact for the day. And you have a good one there.
Well, I appreciate that. The Swiss are more than 3 times more likely, if they live in poverty, to get out of it. Very interesting, than Americans. You know, one of the things that strikes me is that when corporations are declaring bankruptcy, and they do that, who do they go after first? They never go after CEO salaries. Have you noticed this? You know, U.S. Airways or any of these companies that face troubles, we have Disney. Now, Michael Eisner earned hundreds of millions of dollars while he lost billions of dollars for Disney. You know, frankly, I could lose billions and you wouldn't even have to pay me that much. Pay me $1 million and I could lose billions, you know. It's not that hard. You just put it all on one color in Vegas and don't get it. But as CEOs run their companies into the ground and do lousy work and lose billions of dollars in shareholder money, money that all of us that have money in corporations, what happens? Well, the corporation declares bankruptcy. The CEO, the chief executive officer, the head of the corporation, still gets paid, right? But who does he go after? And it's usually a he. I could say he or she, but usually he. Who does he go after? He goes after the workers. The first thing they do is they go after the workers. They go after their pensions. They rob their pensions, make sure they can't have anything on retirement. And, of course, if Bush's Social Security plan works, they won't have anything on retirement from the government either. And they reduce their salaries. And they say, hey, you want to keep this company alive? You want to keep your job? You got to take a salary cut. But what I've never heard of is the chief executive officer taking a salary cut. And again, earning hundreds of millions to lose billions. How about if we had a law that said, you know what? If your company loses money, the CEO loses money. He isn't paid. Maybe he should have to pay back some of those debts. I mean, after all, if you spend on your credit card bill and you have to pay back those debts, why shouldn't a CEO who's been paid hundreds of millions of dollars have to forfeit some of his past salary? Let's say, all but $1 million. Let's say that a CEO who loses millions for his corporation should have to forfeit everything but $1 million. Frankly, a million's probably too excessive, but I'm going to be conservative here and say, let's say you've made $300 million 1 year as a chief executive officer and $1 billion the next year and $370 million the next year, and then the year after that, you lose $10 billion for the company. Seems to me you should be paying back some of those debts. You shouldn't be able to just declare bankruptcy. We'll leave you with $1 million a year, and the rest of those debts, you got to pay back. I guarantee you that's a bill you'll never see that's going through Congress. And what really strikes me about all of this is that the same people in the Republican Party who are complaining that people who use their credit cards are building up all kinds of incredible debt, they're the same ones that are building up the same incredible debt in the United States government, the largest budget deficit ever in American history. Clinton had surpluses, and Bush's budget deficit dwarfs everybody. He has basically caused all of us owe $25,000 apiece to the government. Now, we got to pay that back, folks. We have to pay that back. We can't declare bankruptcy. One of the nice things that was written on the blog is a writer under the name of Credit Line No Problem. He writes, I believe I should be held accountable for my budget to the degree that George Bush is held accountable for the federal budget. When he wants to pay his bills, I'll pay my bills. Until then, I'll just live comfortably with debt up to my eyeballs that I will never pay. And I think the writer has a good point. If the government doesn't pay their debt, how can they expect individuals to pay theirs? Toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. I've been thinking about the government deficit and how much we have to pay it back. And this is really something that is a huge tax, right? I mean, if you look at kids today, 17, 18, 19 years old, and they're the same ones the Republican Party, they're trying to get all these young Republicans, but someone needs to let these young people know they are being double taxed, right? They are being taxed not just for the things that the government incurs tomorrow, not just for all the wars we're going to fight tomorrow and next week and so forth, but they're being taxed today as well. They're being double taxed. So every time George Bush does a tax cut for billionaires, he's doing a tax increase on young people. Now, why can't the Democrats get that across? It's really not that difficult a concept. People understand it when it comes to credit card debt. They understand that you've got to pay it back. I don't know anyone that wants to default on our national debt. So you got to pay the money back, and yet the government isn't doing it. So this same guy, George Bush, who as a kid, right, as a young adult, he failed in every business he was in and was bailed out, right? When he failed in Harkin Energy, the Saudis came and bailed him out. When he failed in Arbusto, his father and their friends bailed him out. He was given, under really kind of shady circumstances, he was given the Texas Rangers baseball team. If you are the rich son of a powerful politician, you don't have to sacrifice for the consequences of what you do. You don't have to use the nation's bankruptcy laws. After all, wouldn't it be nice if we all had Saudi Arabians who were willing to fill our pockets when they got too empty? That would be really nice. So George Bush has no reason to understand a budget, to understand the way that ordinary Americans have to live, and maybe that's why he doesn't get it at all. That's why he runs up more government debt on the government credit card than any individual ever could. We'll be talking more about this in just a few minutes. Toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Feel free to call in or to contribute to the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, by the way, how was the doctor the other day?
Good, but my cholesterol's 200. It's a little high.
Yeah, I'm around 760.
760? You're kidding me!
Pretty impressive, huh?
No, not impressive. Not impressive at all. What are you, on some sort of butter diet?
Yeah, you know, I figured at 760, getting a loan on the new car should be no problem.
Loan? What are you talking about, man? You're not going to live long enough to pay back a loan.
There's physical help, and then there's financial help. With Score Power from Equifax, you'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step toward healthy credit, and a score of 760 is pretty healthy. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Yeah, I figure I can get up to around 790 by the end of the year, you know, if I'm lucky.
Look, a little advice.
Yeah?
Eat a vegetable, a smoothie, something, man.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get Score Power from Equifax.com. Score Power gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get Score Power at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power. Score Power.
The fire is here.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm talking about the bankruptcy bill winding its way through Congress and really how much of it relates to abuses by credit card companies who are charging really incredible rates. Here we have a time of low interest rates, and as Rick points out on the blog, they are charging 25%. And frankly, there used to be a time when that was what a loan shark charged, right? I mean, that's something that the mafia used to charge, I guess. And if that was a crime, and if you didn't pay back, your legs got broken. Well, in many ways, that's the kind of thing that credit card companies are doing right now. It's funny, I'm listening to the ads on this show, and I just think people need to know their rights, because people get really caught up in credit and don't really know their rights. Let me make sure you do know your rights. One is that you have the right to a free credit report if anyone denies you credit. That's a federal law. It's still on the books. It's been around for a long time, passed by a liberal Congress. I'm sure George Bush will do his best to get rid of that law. But for now, if you've been denied credit, all you have to do is by the way, denied credit, that could be simply means that you're not getting the amount of credit there that you want. Let's say you ask for a credit increase and you don't get it. That's denying you credit. You have the right to get a credit report for free. It's federal law. No one can stop you from doing that. All you have to do is when you call those 800 numbers at the credit card companies, tell them you've been denied credit. You will get a free credit report in the mail. It's important for people to know their rights. And what's interesting to me, and this happens all the time throughout America, is that if you're poor and unsophisticated, you're going to get cheated. It's interesting, really, when I compare today's show to yesterday's show about death penalty and fairness of our legal systems to criminal defendants. It's the same thing for consumers as well. If you are unsophisticated, if you are poor, you will be preyed upon, whether by credit card companies or anyone else. If you're rich and you know your way out of the system, you know your way to manipulate the system, well, then you can avoid most of these things. George Bush understands this. When asked about the fact that the great majority of his tax cuts were going to billionaires, George Bush responded, I thought, quite accurately when he said, well, you know what? If you're rich, you'll hire lawyers and you won't have to pay taxes anyway. And he said that as a way to suggest that don't worry if all our tax cuts are going to the rich because they don't pay taxes anyway. Instead of thinking, you know, maybe we should crack down on rich people who cheat the system. Instead, he meant it as a joke. Ha ha, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that if you're rich, you don't have to pay taxes anyway? This is the kind of president we have. This is the kind of administration we have. And what strikes me is that if you talk to individual Republicans, they won't tell you they hate the poor. And yet, time after time again, we find that people who prey upon the poor are supported by the Republican Party, supported by the Republican Congress, and people who let the rich go, it's like, well, everybody's doing it. Ken Lay, yeah, he lost billions of dollars. Everyone's doing it. Don't let that welfare cheat get by. Charge them 25% interest on credit cards. So as we look at this bankruptcy bill, you have to remember, just like car accidents, most people never think they're going to need bankruptcy. Just like, frankly, most people never think they're going to have to rely on Social Security or disability insurance or any of that. None of us ever want to think we could be in an accident. None of us ever want to think we could get some horrible, deadly disease that would use up our health insurance and cause our whole family to be destitute. We don't like to think that way. America is a very optimistic place where we're always thinking of the future, always thinking of good things. But the reason we have a safety net, the reason it's there is to protect us if things happen that we don't want to happen. And bankruptcy is one of those things. It is a right. It is in our Constitution. Yes, abuses should be stopped. Absolutely. But for people who really need it, imagine we had the Republican Party almost unanimously, and some Democrats too, vote to say that if you used your credit card to save a life, to save your husband or wife in the hospital to pay their medical bills, that's something that you're stuck with for the rest of your life. But if instead you used all your money and hid it in one of those fancy asset protection trust things that Ken Lay used, you don't have to pay it back. Is this issue just too complicated for people to understand? Don't people realize what's going on here? Well, I guess that's why we have the Inside Scoop, to let you know what the Republicans are doing, so that maybe, just maybe, you can let people know, right? Let your friends know what's going on in Congress. That's it for the Inside Scoop today. There's no show Friday. Sunday, of course, is the Sunday Weekly Review. We will go over a whole number of topics that I want to discuss, including what's going on in Lebanon and the troubles that this president's having with his Social Security reform. And then you got to stick around for Monday's show. You've got to hear Monday at 3 p.m., Sabelle Edmonds, the FBI translator who found out there were spies in the FBI. Al-Qaeda spies in our FBI, reported it to her supervisors, and was fired for it. We're going to give an update on her case and what she's doing to stop the Bush administration from doing excessive top-secret classification. She's a terrific guest. We actually had her on the Inside Scoop more than a year ago, long before. Now she's been in the New York Times, Washington Post, 60 Minutes, all kinds of things. She still comes back on the show. In fact, she was just in a congressional hearing. She's going to report on that. You won't want to miss on that on Monday. So as I said, that's it for the Inside Scoop. Let me conclude by saying, don't love your country, right or wrong. That's like loving your mother, drunk or sober. Love your country,